I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Energy. The 21st century is about energy. Who has it? Who needs it? What will you pay for it? Can you secure it? China does not have the energy resources available to the United States, to America. Does not have the energy resources available to Europe because of Russia. It does have, however, good planning, looking out for the future. Natural gas. The Chinese have shale gas, similar to how we in the United States have shale gas. North America, the Bakken, and in Canada, all to be exploited, the Marcellus Shale. However, I learned from Robert M. Cutler, who is a columnist for Asia Times Online. Robert, in addition to being on Asia Times Online, is a researcher, a senior research fellow at the Institute of European, Russian, and Eurasian Studies. He makes the distinction between China shale gas and North American shale gas, and it's important, this distinction, because the Chinese will worry about it. Robert, a very good evening to you. First of all, let's establish what shale gas is. Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Well, shale gas is gas that is captured in rock. We call it the matrix, and it is gas that you can extract and use by a variety of methods, the best known of which is the controversial method of hydraulic fracturing, which is basically breaking it up with water, and they're called fracking.
And that is going on in the United States right now to great success, which is, I'm told, a contributing factor to why the price of natural gas continues to decline and why natural gas could be the go-to energy source for the 21st century. What's the difference between the North American natural gas and the North American shale gas and the Chinese shale gas?
Well, the Chinese shale gas is harder to get to. And harder to crack the rocks, basically. In North America, the shale gas or the rock that you go to get the shale gas is a couple miles beneath the surface. In China, it's more like 6 miles below the surface. This means that not only is it hard to get to, not only is it more expensive to get to, but also to get there, you have to find out more about more of the rock and other formations that you have to drill through to get there. And that means also that the technology that's used in North America to go down only a couple miles may not be the exact technology that you need to go down further through maybe different rock formations to get to the shale gas that you have in China.
Now, I learned from you that Sinopec, which is a Chinese, wholly owned Chinese energy company, bought Daylight Energy for $2.2 billion to get access to shale gas in Canada, and that earlier it bought PetroChina bought a stake in Royal Dutch Shell, which has a big shale gas project in Western Canada. Does that mean they're going to import natural gas from North America?
They would like to do that. They would like very much to do that. They're going to be starving for energy even more later in the decade than they are now, and they know that. And they are after all the energy they can import from anywhere, and if they can also get access to any technology, this is why they're buying parts of the not only in Canada but also in America, in the United States. They have a stake in Devon Energy, Chesapeake, and so on. They are trying to get access to all of the energy, all of the technology that they can as well for their own domestic purposes. But ironically, as I've just mentioned, it turns out that the technology may not be exactly what they need. They may need entirely new technologies.
In other words, they're a net importer of natural gas now, and they're going to import more in the future. But the intellectual property rights that are now available to them in some fashion because they're participating in shale gas exploration and mining in the United States, they can't use back home. Do they know this? Do they worry about it, Robert?
You can be certain that they worry about it. They are extremely adept and intelligent and analytical people. And you can be sure that they know it and that they are concerned about it.
All right. Now, is there then therefore not a reason to worry about intellectual property that would have been true because they can't take what's working in the back end and go home to China?
Well, they can always take it or buy it or find it however they find it and try to adapt it. they probably don't have the techniques to adapt it to the formations that they have. And it's worth mentioning, by the way, John, that even all of the shale gas that they have, not all of it is sure to be accessed to. For example, one of the biggest formations is in the Tarim Basin, which you know very well, is out in the Xinjiang Uyghur region.
Yes, where the Uyghurs are, inconveniently,
And the Tarim Basin is overlain by the Taklamakan Desert. And you know that the Taklamakan, in the local language, it means you can go in, but you can't come out.
Right.
And you know that hydraulic fracturing requires a lot of water. So the question is, if you have a lot of shale gas 6 or 7 miles under the surface in the middle of this huge desert, where are you going to get the water from to do the fracking? Is it going to be cost-effective? And what are you going to do with it once you've got it, if you do get it?
All right. Flag, China, shale gas, problems. Now we go to another Asian state that is part of the energy story of the 21st century, part of the Chinese energy story. This is Kazakhstan, a vast, gorgeous land. I've traveled to Alma-Ata in the heydays of the oil boom. A lot of Texans in town with great big SUVs. There are only 14 million people, and it's run by a family, the Nazarbayevs. It's apparatchiks from the old days. They have elections, but it doesn't change much about how the oil, how the money is distributed. They have pipelines that flow to the east, to the west, to Europe. And they also have pipelines that flow to China. Does that mean that China is developing Kazakhstan? Are they participating in those fields as well, Robert?
Yes, absolutely, and they've had a long-term perspective. They've been actually in this since the 90s, and they bought parts of fields in western and northwestern Kazakhstan thousands of miles away, and they were taking losses for years just to have their feet on the ground there. And it has been turned out to be good planning because they are now have been for several years importing both oil and gas from Kazakhstan. The gas actually comes from Turkmenistan. It's this huge, long pipeline that you know about, entered into service about 2009, goes through Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan to western China. And then from western China, there's the so-called west-east pipeline inside China that takes it all the way to the coast in Shanghai area. So that's really quite a feat of engineering and political planning, one might add.
You write about Kazakhstan in Asia Times Online that Nazarbayev is seeking to stabilize the country by diversifying his investments. Does that mean bring in other countries to develop their oil fields?
Well, there are a number of other countries already. There are the Russians, there's the Americans. He does want to bring the Europeans in more. He just finished a trip, a successful visit to Germany, where he signed a number of contracts for several billion dollars and signed a strategic agreement with the EU to increase trade with the EU, which was up 32% just last year over the year previous. So Kazakhstan, their notion is that the more directions, so to speak, and the more places they can export to, the less beholden they will be to any one in particular. But like most of the Central Asian countries, they're concerned about being squeezed between Russia and China just because they're so close and so big and so powerful.
Is there shale gas in Kazakhstan on the Caspian seaside? Do we know?
Not that we know about, no.
And so Kazakhstan right now is chiefly an oil producer, but it does have natural gas.
It has a good deal of natural gas that's been exporting to Russia over the border from Karachanagak to southern Siberia. There's also going to be gas. There's often gas associated with oil and oil associated with gas. There's going to be gas coming out of the offshore Kashagan deposit if and when it ever actually enters production. You know that saga of that huge strike, which is the largest natural gas find in 40 years. So they're going to be doing a lot of work on that. They're energy rich. They're really, really in a better position been a lot of countries out there, even though their gross domestic product was up only 7.5% last year, which is down from the year before, you can see that they're doing pretty well.
Finally, pipeline politics. A note, Europe does need energy as well as China. The Nabucco pipeline, we've spoken of it before, Robert. I understand that it's still going to come under development, though there's the Northern Stream and the Southern Stream. Is Nabucco considered a failure or success in terms of pipeline planning?
Well, Nabucco is trying to get a second lease on life. As you and I discussed a week or two ago, there's this Trans-Anatolian pipeline that Azerbaijan and Turkey are going to build that basically takes Nabucco out of the competition to go across Turkey. But they're trying to reconfigure, and also they can't really build it anymore because one of the German leaders in the consortium, RWE, is taking a big hit financially because Germany is going out of the nuclear industry, nuclear power business, and that's going to hurt RWE a lot. So they don't have a lot of capital to put forward to build the Nabucco as it was first conceived. But they're now, although they haven't taken any final decisions, it's just in the discussion right now. Now they're focusing on just the European segment, and that's really very, very interesting, and could be a winner.
Robert Cutler. Robert writes for Asia Times Online. Energy is the story of the 21st century. China needs it. Kazakhstan has it. The Nabucco pipeline is about Europe wanting to depend upon it. Robert is a senior research fellow in the Institute of European, Russian, and Eurasian Studies. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show.